Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study Galatians chapter 4, we were taught that if a verse does not have figurative wording, it is to be interpreted just as it is written. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Blooms.
You know, I had an evangelist who claims to be a fundamental independent Baptist evangelist that wrote me and told me, you can't do those things. The problem of that is that when I received his email, I had just preached that way, and we had several people get saved and a lot of people get their lives right with God. And from a sermon that just included the things that he said we're not supposed to say. Well, what has happened? He's allowed the marketing of this world go away from the command that God has given us to do. And so, just like this, it takes them away, and they're looking at what? The seed to change it, instead of seeing that the soil needs to be changed. We think of when Lazarus was asleep. He was dead, of course, and laid in the grave for 4 days. And the Lord says he's asleep. What is the Lord doing? He is using a present happening to illustrate truth. Although those things did not happen just to illustrate truth. The sower was going to sow and people were going to die, but Jesus was able to use those things to illustrate truth. I like the following quote by Dr. Henry Morris, who is now with the Lord, but founder of Creation Research Institute, in his Defenders Bible Study note. He says, when God's word is meant to be interpreted allegorically, the text indicates such. Symbolic, figurative, and parabolic language is occasionally used in the Bible. Now, let me just insert there. This is not what he's saying, but let me insert. A lot of times you'll see that when the Lord says, or the Bible says, liken unto, as it were, as, in such words to show that it's not the actual thing, but it's likened unto it. Or it's something that you can use to show an illustration, just like the seed and the sower that Jesus used. Okay? Now, he goes on to say, this is normally clearly evident in the context. When the author does not indicate such language, the safe and proper way to interpret a text is not to interpret it at all, but simply to assume it means only what it says and to proceed on that basis. In no way is it suggested that the events discussed did not really happen. It really happened that there was an Isaac, there was an Ishmael, there was a Hagar, and there was a Sarah. But there were things that were to show that they had a special meaning to go with it. Now, what we need to understand, that you have things called types or shadows. Type is a shadow, but it's not the substance. Noah and Lot, for an example, are used as types in prophecy, but they themselves aren't the prophecy. They're simply history. Joseph is often called a type of Christ. Joseph is the type. Jesus Christ is the antitype. The antitype is the substance. Joseph is not the Christ. He is only a type of him. Type is the shadow. For an example, Jesus is not a type. Joseph is. The similarity between type and antitype can never be perfect. The type is a shadow of that which is to come, but not the perfect substance. Jesus is not a type of God. He is God. He is the substance. Now, what you and I must understand, my friend, is that we are not to take the historical record of the Bible and try to allegorize them in order to come up with some magic formula that is the key to some special hidden knowledge that only the initiates can know. The bottom line is that even when there is an allegorical meaning, it does not deprive the original narrative of its original meaning. So in this verse, when he says which things are an allegory, it doesn't mean those things didn't really happen. This is only a story. But it's talking about the truth is illustrated by what they happened in their lives. So we're told that first in verse 24, there is one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth unto bondage, which is Agar. But now look at the rest of verse 24 and all of verse 25. It says, these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage, with her children. Gendereth has the idea of is born to bondage. It is in the continual sense showing us a state which in which one remains or does not allow freedom. By the way, keep that in mind, is that this is before the law. What we're looking at with Abraham and Sarah and Hagar, Ishmael and Isaac, all of this is before the law. In that it gendereth unto bondage, those who would try to live by it to merit heaven, or to keep their salvation, they remain in bondage. Obviously, that is not the delight of wisdom, that is, the wisdom that comes from God. You see, the better covenant is seen in verses 26 through 28. So let's look at those. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Now that first word again of verse 26 comes to our mind and jumps here in front of us. And boy, does it jump out there. I mean, it jumps out there big. So let's look at that. It is the word but, showing us a contrast. As Hagar, and therefore Ishmael, were slaves, so too were those living in Jerusalem who had rejected their Messiah. Rejecting Messiah in order to live by the works of the law, they missed the point of the law. Now, the law was a very holy document, but it was to show them their need of Messiah because they could not fulfill the law. Now, that's really the context of the Apostle Peter's words in Acts chapter 15, verses 10 and 11, when people are trying to put, as here in Galatians, they're trying to put, Judaizers trying to put the people who were not Jews. They were trying to put the Gentiles under the law. He says, now therefore, why tempt ye God? to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Now, anytime one rejects Christ as Savior with, well, not now statements, they are also then relying on their own crummy works, which the law shows to be, according to Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, as filthy rags. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight, and it's God who is the judge. Now, Peter says to the others, we couldn't do it. There's no Jew, none of us Jews could do it. So, why do we expect the Gentiles to? Now, you'll notice that he speaks in verse 26 of the Jerusalem above, which is free. And he adds, which is the mother of us all. In using the word us, and knowing this is written to a Gentile church with God using a Jew to take down the very words of God as God breathes them out to him, we see that they, without us, that is the Jew or the Gentiles, without one another, are not complete. That's what Hebrews chapter 11, verse 40 tells us. And he is referring to the Jerusalem that is above. Now listen to Revelation chapter 21, verses 2 and 3. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now, he says us. Us, then, is not referring to Mary, the birth mother of the human Jesus. Nor is it referring to Eve, the mother of the race, knowing that she is of the first Adam, which is earthy, while we are the second Adam. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 47 through 49 says it this way. The first man is of the earth, earthy, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are also they that are earthy. And such as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.